actually feels a bit like spring but also winter at the same time. How do we do that here? But there you go. It's great to have you here, and good to have you with us, whether you're online, you're watching the video later, or you're even on the phone. We've still got one or two in there. But it's great to have you all here. So thank you for coming, and I pray that the Lord will bless us all, however we're engaging with this service this morning. And may he meet with us in that which we do, that which we sing, and allow our spirits to really meet with the Lord. Just a couple of things to say at the start, if I could. Firstly, it's good to have Clive and the team here. We're starting to expand the worship team, which is great. And so thank you to Clive and everyone. But also want to acknowledge, again, I've done it before, but we've got an amazing technical crew who are supporting so much of what we do. They're up there. They're changing every week, which is great because that means a few more people. And, of course, Alison on the phones as well back at home. But it's brilliant. So thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for all that you're doing. Really, really important. Now, just to say that we start a new series today. In fact, our opening video was looking at Psalm 34 or parts of Psalm 34. And we're going to be looking at a new series in the Psalms from today. And a bit more about that later, but an exciting proposition comes with it. Stay tuned. A reminder for those of you who are church members, in fact regular members of the congregation too, it's our AGM and church meeting a week on Tuesday, the 20th of April at 7:30. Please try to be here. There's some important things happening and we want you to be part of that. That's really important. This coming Wednesday, we have worship on Wednesday from here, also with an expanding group of people, which is lovely. So a fuller band, and that's from 7 o'clock here. You can get it on our Facebook Live page, where you are at this point, if you're watching online. And then, of course, there is our coffee time afterwards. Those who are present, of course, need to dash home. Well, not too fast, but you need to go home for your... So you can engage with that one, but that's brilliant. And there's an opportunity as well there. If you wanted some prayer or ministry, that is there as well. That comes via Zoom, so if you are online and you'd like that code, then please leave a note in the comments, and we'll get that to you. Okay, let's worship God, shall we? And I'm going to hand over to Clive. Just a reminder, though, you can't sing. I think you know that by now, but you can hum. Okay, over to Clive, thanks.
Shall we pray? Lord, we come to you today with fresh hope. Speak to us now as we spend this time with you. And let the reality of your resurrection dispel despair and reawaken the love song of our life in you. Sing a new song of praise to him and sing with joy, for the word of the Lord holds true and we can trust everything he does. Amen. So it's a big welcome to those who are here at church and those joining us online. And if you're able, please stand with us as we worship our God in song.
God, precious Lamb of God. thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Maybe a new song to some of you. Sing his praise again.
Angels, sing his praise again, and don't.
If you're standing, please be seated. Kids Lock with Richard.
Hey George, what's wrong? You don't look very happy.
I've had a rubbish day.
A rubbish day? Oh, what's happened?
Well, I need a car tower. I tried playing Minecraft. Okay, so this is my Minecraft house. I've spent all day on it and creepers. What are they? No! No!
Oh, what else?
I had an ice cream for pudding. Ice cream, ice cream, I love ice cream. Ice cream, ice cream. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, George, is that all?
No.
Well, what else could be worse than that?
Tomorrow's Sunday, and I have to pretend everything's okay, or God will be cross with me.
Oh, George, you don't have to pretend.
Yeah, I do. God wants us to be happy all the time, or he'll be cross.
Oh, George, it's not like that at all. The wonderful thing about God is he already knows when we're happy and when we're sad.
Really?
Yeah, and actually he wants us to talk to him, whether we're happy or sad.
Really?
Yeah, in fact there's a whole book in the Bible all about this.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Psalms. It's full of poems and songs written by people just like, well probably not just like you, but people just like you at home, who had good days.
Oh?
And sad days, who felt lonely and scared, who sometimes felt so wonderfully happy they wanted to sing about how God was so great, and other times said things like, God, where are you? I feel all alone, and I don't know why you're letting me go through this.
Really?
Yeah. So we don't have to pretend with God. We can be honest with him. And in fact, that's what worshipping God really is. It's being honest with God all the time. Not just being our best on Sundays, but talking to him every day about how we're really feeling and about what's really going on.
That's so great. I don't feel sad about it being Sunday anymore.
Good, George, because we can talk to God, can't we? That's really good. Over the next few weeks, Mark's going to be looking at the Book of Psalms with us.
Cool.
And we'll be having a look at them too, won't we, George? We're going to sing a song now, and it's a song about how great our God is. It's called
Our God is a Great Big God.
And we're going to sing it now.
Follow that. Follow that. Okay. Our world is constantly changing, isn't it? And obviously the world, the news particularly, is full of an acknowledgement of the death of Prince Philip and all that he was and all the things which he did so in, with such a certain part over the years. And of course we remember as well, and we need to continue to pray for the Queen and the family as they go through this. And that perhaps God will meet with all of our society as we do. But we are remembering, and we're going to be spending a bit of time now, and Joe White's going to come and lead us in some prayers for some very constant things, and that's God and his word. So, Joe, thank you. Over to you.
When I was quite little, probably just pre-teen, I remember ripping open the Christmas wrapping on what was clearly a book and being terribly disappointed when I found that instead of the latest book by an author I was particularly fond of, it was a Bible. Mary Jones I was not. And I'm afraid it was quite a few years before I really learnt, and I'm still learning, what an incredible treasure God's Word is. But here at Emmanuel, we're happy to support two organisations whose life work is to bring God's Word, whether it's to young people in this country, abroad. So, for example, the Scripture Union and Bible Society, through their work, especially in schools, they invite children and young people to explore the difference that Jesus can make to the challenges and the adventures of life. And the Bible Society, through more than 20 different countries, they have a global mission to bring the Bible to every man, woman, and child. Because they believe that when people engage with the Bible, lives can change for good. So let's bring them to the Lord now as we pray. Father God, we who have come to know you as our loving Father are so thankful and grateful for your word, which we can read in complete freedom and in so many different paraphrases that help us better understand what you want to say to us. We ask you to bless the work of Scripture Union as they work through schools, Christian unions and holiday clubs to reach the 95% of children and young people not in church. Thank you for the imaginative ways they've been able to adapt their work through this time of pandemic. We ask that you will continue to encourage and inspire those who prepare the many different types of material that help to make your word and truth accessible to people of all ages. And we ask this too for the Bible Society as they adapt and respond to a changing culture to ensure that all they do is relevant to the days in which we live. As the schools go back for the summer term, we pray for all who will take your word into school, for the work of the WAVE team here in Swanage, and for those who go into school under the banner of Open the Book. Across the world, there are so many people who do not yet have a Bible in their language, and many more for whom to own one is a punishable offence. We pray for all who are seeking to realise the vision to make your word available to all who seek you. Help us to value and treasure our Bibles even more than we already do, to give us a hunger for your word and a greater understanding of it. We earnestly pray too, Lord, for those who have read or listened to your word in days gone by, but it is still dormant in their life. We pray that that seed will eventually germinate and grow into a living faith in you. Your word brings us comfort. It brings us hope. It shows us where we go wrong. It guides us and gives us an insight into your loving Father heart. Thank you for your word. Amen.
These past 12 months have been difficult for most of us, especially those who have been living on their own. We thank God for the vaccines and pray that the rollout will go smoothly. Focus on the good things. You've heard many times on the TV and radio about the tunnel. Remember, Jesus is walking with you through that tunnel, not just the light at the end of the tunnel. I praise the name of the Lord our God. And if you're able, stand with us as we sing this together.
Shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun.
Please be seated.
Amen. Starting to get more free, aren't we? A bit feel. It's good to be together in worship. Excellent. You wait until we sing. Whoa. Then we're going to be set free. Okay, well, last week we finished our series, which we've been looking at since the beginning of the year, Messages from Lockdown. And so we're looking ahead this next term, as we've already indicated. And I sense we needed something a bit different as we hopefully come out of lockdown. The roadmap, another version of another sort of point on that map tomorrow, which is going to be good. And then, of course, by the time we get to the summer, well, we're going to be singing and dancing and partying and, yeah, maybe. But at least things are going to be open. That will be nice, won't it? You know, come on in, we're open. And I expect, you know, you're going to have all sorts of parties coming up over in your back gardens, if not inside within a few months, which would be fantastic. But in terms of Christian festivals and sort of a point of celebration, we've obviously just been celebrating Easter in all its love, its wonder, and its freedom expressed through the cross and, of course, the resurrection of Jesus. Very, very important. And now, of course, we don't do it so much as Baptists, but we're certainly in the more traditional sort of sides of church. We look forward to some other festivals, and the main one coming up, of course, is Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the equipping and the empowering of the Spirit. And so we look forward to that. So linking into that sort of thought about festivals and celebration, we're going to enter into a psalm fest. Woohoo! I hear you all getting so excited about that one. We're going to have a festival and celebration, if you like, of God's glory and God's presence rising out of the Psalms. And this will be until probably about mid-June, somewhere around there. And obviously there are 150 Psalms, but if you can calculate from now until then, we can't do every one, one a week. So I've just selected 10, and you know, it took me ages. I wrote all my favourites down first, and I thought, right, let's tackle those. And when I went on to my second page, I was starting to think, oh, this is going to be too many. So I had to be quite ruthless, and I went through, and I've narrowed it down to 10. 10? It's not enough, really, but there you go. And so that's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. But even though it's a small selection, we're going to have a celebration, I hope. And we're going to celebrate what is more the richness and the splendor of the Psalms. And they are so deep, they are so much. There's so much in them, so much we can learn from them and be encouraged by from what they write about. And so I just want to pray that it will be a worship-filled, releasing, fruitful sort of series. And I hope you'll join me with that. So firstly, a little bit of background to the Psalms, if I could. Now, they're written by a variety of authors, including Solomon, Moses, Asaph, and Korah, who are Levitical tribal leaders, and there are probably more as well, majority of them unnamed, you won't know. But, of course, the majority are attributed to David, that once shepherd boy turned king, who, of course, really loved and knew God. Now, some of them have their authors, when you read through the Psalms, they have their authors named, along with titles and headings as well, which also can indicate something of the setting of the prayer or the sacred song, whatever it actually is. Especially David did seem to do that more than some of the others. And of course, David was also a musician. And so many obviously were set to music. And specific tunes, and if you'll notice in some of the headings as well, to the tune of lilies or something else, and it's got these specific instructions. But there are instructions such as maskil, which nobody really knows the understanding of, but it's probably some sort of sacred song or whatever, or even times of pause or reflection or interlude, or even an instrumental break. It could be. They don't have lead guitars in quite the same way in those days. But that's denoted by the term selah, or interlude, as it is in more modern translations. So psalms are also written, of course, for a variety of situations and occasions and events. Some are personal prayers, very personal, and songs from individuals, reflecting on how that person, that psalmist, and what they're going through in their life, in their circumstances at the time. While, of course, others are pleading more generally for mercy and forgiveness, or a release even from their enemies, and a lifting of that lockdown they're feeling. So, for instance, Psalm 68 says this: "Rise up, O God, scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke." Nice. "Melt them like wax in a fire." Lovely. "Let the wicked perish in the presence of God." So, that's uplifting. Some, of course, are laments and are filled with sadness and heaviness and a frustration, almost pouring out a deep distress and a heart sickness which they've got. Somewhere like Psalm 55, where it says, "My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking." While others are victorious, they're jubilant, they're triumphant in their nature, full of joy, full of celebration. Such as, for instance, and again, this was hard, Psalm 34, where we started with that video, that David prays, "I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together." I think he was enthusiastic, wasn't he? Can you imagine that sort of scenario? But still others, of course, were very written for corporate use and used in worship at the tabernacle or in the temple courts, as it became, either to sing or to chant in sort of a responsive type of worship across the sort of the courtyard of the temple and or the tabernacle. And when you read some of the Psalms, they have these repetitive phrases, and they're chants from one group of people to the other, encouraging the worship which was going on. Others were written for an approach, as they approach worship, as they came to the tabernacle, as it became the temple, they climbed the hill, for instance, up to Mount Zion, the Song of Ascents. And so there's all sorts of different situations and places and events which are going on. Now, many of the Psalms acknowledge all age groups as well. And they relate to all different generations. For example, Psalm 71. We'll all love this one, tell you. "O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood. I constantly tell others about the wonderful things which you do. Now that I'm old and grey, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me." There you go. If you're wondering what your role is when you get old and grey, that's it. Tell the other generations. Get out there. And of course, there are a number of other of the Psalms that reflect on the life of the king, whether that be David or Solomon. But it seems to slip in and out of the reality of the king as he was, as the human being, into worship as God, as king. And quite rightly, because it was that sort of reflecting on the position and the using the language, royal language. And of course, then several of them, I think sometimes unbeknown to the author, God was inspiring, and they became prophetic in nature. Messianic, as we call them in more theological terms. Pointing to Christ the King, the servant of God who was to come. And come, of course, in the line of David. And affirmation of that came through Jesus himself in his ministry, who quoted and used the Psalms time and time again. And more particularly on the cross, acknowledging that God had been he who he was, who he was, and God was upon his life. And we could go on. There are many, many other different facets to the Psalms. But they're such a wonderful, wonderful variety, aren't they? And they're so rich. And they are so enriching when we allow them to minister to us. So before we go any further, I'd like to read a couple of Psalms to get us into a bit of that festival atmosphere, if I could. We're going to read Psalm 47 to start with. And then that really long one, Psalm 117. No, of course not. the shortest one, in fact. Just two verses. You had a shock then. You thought I was going to do 119, didn't you? Don't panic, don't panic. Anyway, let's read Psalm 47. So, come everyone, clap your hands. Well, we had an attempt. I tell you what, we need to engage, don't we? So let's have a little bit more engagement. Come on, everyone, clap your hands. Yeah, shout with joyful praise. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants, whom he loves. Interlude. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together, and the people of the God of Abraham, with the people of the God of Abraham, for all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere. Wonderful. You get that sort of exuberance and that jubilance, that triumph in that. And then over to Psalm 117, where it says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for his unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. That sense of security that you're in God's hands, that he's got it all together, and even though the world looks broken outside, God has got it. And in fact, it's that contrast. It's that contrast at the same time as looking forward and being jubilant and being upbeat. And for us, of course, coming out of lockdown and all the rest of it. When the good things are happening, we start buzzing. Life still goes on with its difficulties, its tough situations, things that need dealing with. And it's as though we're constantly trapped while we're living in this world between two seasons. Because we've got the now but not yet of a celebration and being with God and what God's done and eternity to look forward to. Yeah, but there's the now. There's the aches, the pains, the struggles. And it's hard. You know, things like the joy of birth and the sadness of death. And it can happen in the same week, can't it? Physical illness. And then feeling on top of the world when you jump out of from under the duvet. Yes! Frailty. As you get that little bit older and things don't work quite the same way as they used to. And still wanting to do lots of things. And then you regret it later. There's things like hard practical situations to solve alongside these things that seem just to come together perfectly without any planning at all, then it just all falls into place. And then all of these things, of course, these ups and downs, they get compounded with mental health stuff and emotional anxieties, even relational stresses, financial and employment pressures, made worse, of course, for us this last 12 months with the whole COVID thing. And many people have been struggling. So all these things and many more are, of course, expressions of living as believers and with the hope of God and the eternity and everything, but in the tension of this world, a fallen, broken, hurting world. It's the now, not yet of the kingdom of God, which we've spoken about times before. But in many ways, this ebb and this flow and its seasons is a familiar pattern for humanity, always has been. Even pre-COVID, dare I say, even though our lives feel as though they've changed forever. But, you know, the good times, the positives and the wonderful experiences of life, which are important and we must hang on to, seem sometimes, though, to get coloured and come in partnership with encountering and coping with the struggles, the pains and the difficult aspects of life. So how do we handle that dichotomy? How do we handle those difficult things? Should one dominate the other? Or should we be living in the reality of the now, but also the reality of the future? And hold that tension. And that's so, so important. That's what the Psalms are all about. If you read many of the Psalms, that's what they're all about. And that's what we're hoping to unpack and look at as we go through and try and tackle that question. How do we handle it? In fact, as I thought about the Psalms and I started to think about them, I began to think of them like a sort of a hidden treasure, like a treasure trove, a big treasure chest of the wider gifts of God. And of course, the core of that is God's Word, is the Scriptures, the Bible, which is free and available for us. And we all know it's rich and it's full of diamonds. And they're like 150 diamonds in the Psalms. That's what I would say. You probably read some of them, you think, oh, is that a diamond? Really? Hey, I believe God's given them for a reason. But they shine. They stand out in as much amongst the rest of the jewels of God's treasure trove. I don't know whether you've realized, you probably do know, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Diamonds are formed from crystallized carbon that's been baked in the intense heat and squeezed on the immense pressure of the Earth's crust over thousands of years. Yet when they're found, when they're discovered and they're cut and they're shaped, their beauty is revealed and they reflect light in the most amazing of ways. And that makes them very sought after. In the same way, I felt God say the Psalms are formed like that too, with life's pressures. Yet when God finds us and then he cuts and shapes that which we are going through in the process and in his presence, the Scriptures and particularly the Psalms become multifaceted gems that enable us to view our lives and that which we face through the lens of God. They help to point us towards God, to trust him, and to worship him in the midst of the dark and the hard times of life. And allowing his light to reflect on the path which we should then walk. And that road of praise which we should follow. It's both and, not either or. It's both and, not either or. So in one sense, the Psalms help us to hold in tension the things of life. Its pains and its difficulties, its ups and downs together. But to hold them in the right tension. The right tension. alongside knowing God and praising God. And praising him for all that he's done, all that he's given, all that he's lavished upon us as his people. And you know the Psalms, when you read them, as we've started thinking, and I obviously George has read them, bless him. I'm pleased to hear that. But, you know, these Psalms are full of these tensions and these dilemmas. And David and the rest of the psalmists, they seem to know that, or God inspired them about that. And they've provided us with an open and an honest account of their circumstances in the light of the relationship with God. And what's so good is that the Psalms are honest about the situations, about their enemies. They tell it as it is, how they felt. They even tell God how they feel about him at times too. Yet as they spill it all out, God reveals himself. He speaks and he meets with them as they remember him and they tell him about what's happening to them. And as they do, they reflect on life, on God himself, on his creation, on his character, on his faithfulness, on his merciful actions of the past. And they repeat the things which God's done. As well as, of course, the many blessings of the present. And they all come together to help the psalmist and the people to get through whatever it is they are facing at any one time. And they seem to be, a dialogue. A dialogue with their own souls. They talk to themselves in the light of God. Oh, you've noticed that. The psalmist tells him, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" says David. And they're lifting their eyes from the circumstances and get caught in the spirit of God who's at their ministers to them. They consider his power and his authority, which lifts their souls and their spirits into praise and worship. And therefore, I suppose in the midst of their struggles and their difficulties, gets back into balance how it should be. The tension of living in the God moment and yet in the human moment. And that shift of attention builds faith. It builds expectancy, stirring them to keep trusting him, even when things continue to be hard and even change all around them. And God becomes their focus. He becomes their rock, their anchor, their fortress. And these phrases come up as he sustains them all the way through it. And so all in all, the Psalms are an invaluable aid to our worship and our personal relationship with God. Absolutely essential. Because they reflect how we're feeling and what we're facing. And I'm amazed how God speaks and has spoken into my life through them in the past. And particularly through reading a psalm a day. Usually so relevant and pertinent to where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. So, as we go through this series, I've got a couple of challenges for you. Woohoo! They all say, "Thanks, Mark. Don't need anything else." Well, here's my first one. The first challenge is, during this Psalm Fest, I want to encourage you to read a psalm a day. A psalm a day. Or a section of one. It doesn't have to be the whole thing. It could be just one verse of it if you wanted to. But if you don't do this already, can I ask you to do it? And this is in addition to any other passage which you read. All right? If you already do a sort of a Bible through the year thing, you'll get a psalm anyway, which is great. But if you don't, and it's Every Day with Selwyn or whatever it was used to be, Every Day with Jesus or something, then put a psalm in there as well. Work through them. You can start at number one. It's pretty good. We're going to see that in a minute. And use it. Use it as a prayer. Use it as a devotional. Meditate on it. Dwell on it. Pray into it with God and say, "Lord, what are you saying? What's the relevance for me now in this place at this time?" And if you need a bit of help, there's the YouBible app also can help in that. And it can help you be a bit creative. These are two I've created. You can't see the writing on the one on the right very well. This is about Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, etc. And that's taken a photograph outside of my house on a sunset day. And obviously you've probably seen that amazing one with, "But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you." But I found that photograph and I put the verse to it. And so the Bible app enables you to make it more creative. And you can print it out. You can post it on your fridge. These things, it just helps. And it just helps the devotion and helps the process. So that's the first of the challenges. Read a psalm a day. You up for that? Cracking. Alongside it, though, I want to put a second challenge. And that is, I'd like you to create a psalm. I'd like you to write your own. Write your own. I'd like to encourage us all to have a go at this and to be creative in the 10 or so weeks which we've got in this series and write a relevant, personal, modern-day, everyday psalm reflecting on the reality of your situation now before God. Okay? That's the challenge. I'd like it to be inclusive of Jesus and the Holy Spirit rather than just Old Covenant, which a lot of the Psalms are written in, which is understandable because they were written thousands of years before Christ, of course. But using the Psalms' traditional and literary style and the pattern of content, such as repetitive phrases or building of ideas, or including even the prophetic, if that's what God inspires you as you ponder, and imagery too. So reflect on it and think about it and put some stuff down. I wrote mine yesterday, or one of them. I love it. I love doing it. It just releases something within my creative unction or whatever. It's great. I will share it with you in a few weeks' time, but I want you to have a go first. They can be short, like Psalm 117. They can be really long, like Psalm 119, if you want. They can be put to music. They could be a poem in rhyme. They could just be simply spoken. And why not visualize it? Paint it, draw it, use photographs, sculpt it, carve it in wood if you want. That's for Rich, actually. He likes playing with wood. Create a dance, write a tune or a song, anything. But please, have a go. That's my encouragement. Have a go. And an opportunity then towards the end of this series, I will give, if you are willing, and only if you're willing, you're not being forced to do this, but to share it with others. And that can be through life groups or even with us as the whole church, perhaps even here on a Sunday morning. And we'll have to query about whether we stream it or not, because that's very personal. So we'll have to just recognize that. But if not, and you've written it, and if it's in that sort of form, we can send it out to everybody if you're willing as well. So we can all be blessed by what you do. So all in all, I want this to be more of a fun and creative exercise than a burden. I want it to be releasing. Yeah, I know it will also at the same time be incredibly fulfilling and releasing of your life and your relationship with God. Now, I'll be sending these details out via email immediately after the service. That's just a note for Margaret. But I've also printed some of these out. So those of you who are not online, just those, please. No, they're not online. The two challenges are written out, and you can take one as you go out this morning. All right? So let me finish by reading us Psalm 1, going back to the very first. And in one sense, it sets the scene for us. So let's worship, shall we? Let's just sit in silence, just be, as I read this psalm to you, and then I'll pray. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted by the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. But in particular today, we want to thank you for the Psalms. Thank you for all that they express and they release within us, and all that they teach us about you and our life in you. Lord, release us as your people as we step into this next season as a church, as individuals, to know that, Lord, you're the great and unchanging God, and that you're interested in every aspect of our lives, and that we can and we will praise and worship you no matter what we may face, because, Lord, we face it with you. So, Lord, release us, and may you fill our hearts with praise and worship. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thine be the glory.
Coming, thank you for being part of our service this morning, and bless you those that are at home as well. Just to remind you, psalm a day and write a psalm. There's your challenges for the future. You'll all go home deeply prayed up, and you'll go, yes, God, please help me. I know that mix. So we're going to close our service and draw our service to a close, and Clive's going to lead us in prayer.
Shall we pray? Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, Help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.
Lord bless you.